Nothing, in scientific terms, is really absolute. This is Dr. Herbert Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, and the University of Philosophy here in Campo, California. This is the Absolute Philosopher. Nothing, in scientific terms, is really absolute. Have you thought about that? Have you thought how scientific terms is science being knowledge, being wisdom and understanding and intellectual things? Nothing in intellectual terms is really absolute. Nothing in knowledge terms is really absolute. Nothing in scientific terms is really absolute. However, everybody wants to understand why and wherefore and how things happen. And because they want to understand the why and the wherefore and the how things happen, they miss the technique of doing it in its most beautiful way. I say to you, you know how to drive now. So go down and take the Jaguar and take it for a spin. The Jaguar, oh my gosh, all that money and all that car. What would happen if I bumped? Well, what are you doing? You are creating a problem for yourself before you even get started. You can handle a Jaguar just as well as you can handle a Ford, just as well as you can handle a Jeep or a golf cart. They're all the same. They have a brake, gas pedal, they have steering wheel, and they have forward and back. So now, what are you going to do? Are you going to get all uptight because it is such a big model, because it costs $50,000 or better? That's one of the cheaper Jags, yeah. Now, what is it? Are you used to driving a $6,000 model, $10,000 model? You know, it doesn't make any difference. If you are doubting yourself, you can doubt yourself out of the biggest thing in the world or the smallest thing in the world. It's all the same. Nothing in scientific terms is really absolute. So when we take all of these thought ideas and all these knowledge ideas and we just let them drift away, and then we start thinking in absolute terms, what sort of thoughts do we have when we're thinking in absolute terms? When we're thinking in absolute terms, what we are thinking about, once again we say the same thing, is the archetype, is the is, is the concept, is the visualization of what it is. That's what we think about. Now, can you visualize an is? No. You cannot visualize an is, because an is an is not. An is just itself, and it has no otherness to it. It has no otherness to the is than itself. It is not on a video. It is not a motion picture. It is not a group of actions taking place together. And this is all that our intellect can conceive. Our intellect cannot conceive of a static item, something that does nothing. We say something that does nothing is nothing. And if it is nothing, it doesn't deserve our attention. And if it is nothing, it certainly isn't something that we can give attention to, because how can you give attention to something that's nothing? So that's just a play of words a little bit there, but it's true. Right away, what we want to do when we are human beings is we want to have the big you. And we're running around looking for the big you in everything we do. The big you is looking for being fulfilled and being understood. Oh, understood. The big you is understanding. We want to understand. And you cannot understand nothing. You cannot understand something. You cannot understand an is. You cannot understand an is not. Because it has nothing to give it relevance for understanding. Understanding needs to have an activity. It needs to have something which gives it a life force, something which gives it motivation, something which gives it then, now, and here, and whatever. You see, in our sharing of our philosophy, and many others are doing the same, Jesus did the same thing too, in the sharing of our philosophy, we're saying all is in the now. Now is the only time there is, and And all is in this place right now. There is no other place. Scientists are coming to that same conclusion. And it's quite interesting. But what are they coming to? What are they? You see, the scientists can only go to that point. You say to a scientist, you say, all time is now. What does that mean? Well, that means there is no otherness. Well, what does that mean? How can you say there's no otherness when there's no otherness to say there's no otherness? You know? You cannot make these statements because they have no relevance when you're dealing with an absolute concept. You say, well, to me, it sounds like being concerned about absolute at all is a lost cause. It is something that isn't going to get me anywhere. It is something that is not going to accomplish anything for me. And I say to you this, if you can conceive how it would be to be a master musician while you are yet a first-year student or third, fourth, if you can say to me what it means to be a master musician when you are in just the beginning stages, then yes, you can understand the here and the now. You can understand absolute. But until you can know what it is to be a master musician, when you are on the first stages, then you're something. Now, when you are a master musician, then what happens? Then there is still more to go. There is still more to reveal. Then, when you are a master musician, do you think of yourself as a master musician? What do you think of yourself as? You think of yourself as falling in love with love. You're falling in love with music. You're just happy with the music you're playing. That you don't even think of your technique. You don't even think of the instrument you're playing, whether it's a violin or a piano or a voice. You don't even think of it. You think of the golden music that's flowing from whatever it is that you have, that you're producing that music. And you're living in that music. You have no idea what the chords are. You have no idea what the tempo is. You have no idea what the notes are. And you have no idea the rapidity of the notes at some point and the slowness of the notes at other. You just are the music. And can you conceive what it is to be the music? Well, now that would be a great achievement too. You see, as we grow in our awareness of the reality that we are, we realize, as the saying often goes, there's more to learn. We realize that there is more to understand. And of course, we'll never end up understanding. But what's the word that I'm looking for? We realize there is more to reveal. And we don't need to understand anything to reveal it. We just are it. We spoke earlier today in our instant illumination on happiness is known unconditionally. You don't know happiness. You feel it. You are it. You sense it. But even then, you're not bliss. You're not in the absolute happiness. It'd be nice to be in absolute happiness. But what is absolute happiness? Being absolutely unaware of anything else. There's nothing to be harmonious with because you are one as all. You see, when you reach these upper level stages of consciousness, which are all a lot of fun and which philosophers love to play with, and every philosopher comes up with a similar type of definition, but with a little different slant or a little different approach, a little different illustration to point out his point. Nothing in scientific terms is really absolute because all is absolute, and scientific terms have not yet been drawn up that can describe the allness, that can describe the isness, that can describe nowness. How do you describe nowness? I mean, you know, nothing can be more definitive than now. Or here-ness, again, a very definitive word. Here-ness, how do you describe here-ness? Well, I am in the monastery. I am in the dining room. I am sitting at the table. I have my 2 feet on the floor. I am here in this place. Well, you aren't. You see, where you are is perhaps in a totally different place. Because the moment I say to you, all right, let's take a journey. We're going to go over and visit Oscar and see what Oscar has to say. And Oscar is going to speak to us in perfect English, and he's going to describe the Macintosh to us in perfect English. Now, can you visualize that? Can you visualize us being there? Can you visualize us in his presence, talking to him about the computer? Can you visualize him saying, "My God, it's nice to communicate with you guys so beautifully"? Can you imagine him saying that? Wouldn't that be lovely? But you see, you're not here. You're not here in the monastery. You're over in Switzerland. And this is what you do all the time. And a minute ago, you were thinking of the dog, and you were where the dog was. Another minute ago, you were thinking of other things. And you have not the capacity to be definitive, you see? And you don't want to be. Because when you're definitive, you stop living as a human being, and you start operating and being your absolute self. "Herb, how do you know all these things?" Well, you do too. I'm not telling you something you don't know, or else you'd say, "No, that's not so. No, that's not so." And you're not shouting out, "No, that's not so." You're saying, "Yes, it's an idea. That's interesting, you know. I wouldn't have said it the same way myself, but yeah, it's interesting." But can you see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so when you don't object, then you are revealing it to yourself. When you object, then you're going to have to learn it. And when you have to learn it, you're going to have to go through all of the rebellion. You're going to have to go through all of the confusion of trying to figure out why it's so or why it's not so. And it's not much fun when you do that. And this is why I like each one of you to sort of flow with me. And if I say that we went at 4 o'clock to the house yesterday and we actually went at 2:30, you say, "No, no, no, we didn't go at 4 o'clock. We went." Well, who cares? Who cares? The thing is, when you are so concerned about the nitty-gritties, mm-hmm. instead of being concerned about, "We went to the house, remember?" Mm-hmm. And then you're there at the house with me. And does it make any difference whether it was in the morning, in the night, in the afternoon, or what day of the month or year it was? They may have Christmas settings up at the house. And you say, "How about that? It must be Christmas time." "No, no. My son is in the service, and he couldn't come home for Christmas. And so we are holding our Christmas decorations, Christmas presents for him, and we're opening them when he gets here tomorrow." And wow, you know, that's neat. But, you know, would you have thought that? You say, "My gosh, they didn't take down their Christmas tree." Or maybe it's Christmas and I don't know it. In the now, it's Christmas. Well, in the now for them, it'll be Christmas when he gets home. You see, it's also relative and yet also final, also definitive, yet not definitive, also absolute, and yet also absolute. Think on these things. They're a lot of fun. Have a wonderful night, a wonderful day, a wonderful life. And just remember that I love you. I love you. I love you.